Seeking while other secretary to the chaplain.
Ivan Collier from Shump.
I'm Sally Unko from PMG. My surname? Oh, I'm sorry. Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Lima Chironi, Petrol Lima Govani, from the department. I'm Sir Cornell from the Department of Mineral Resources.
My name is Wiswamang from DMR, Dumanpen, Benin.
McGovern from the department.
Thank you. terms of our overall guidance, the department has a budget of one billion, of which we spend 1.09 billion of it. And the balance was 9.5%, which is 0.92% underspending by the department. The individual program one admin, we had a budget of 255, and our actual spending was 257, with a balance of 8 billion, which is roughly 3%. That is a slight increase compared to the 2011 actual, which was 66. Under my health and safety, our budget was 141 million. Our spending was 141 million, with a small balance of 1.7%, which is below 0.11%. Under program 3, our budget was 184, our spending 184, and that went to the balance 240 because of some violence that we made during the year end. Under NCP, our budget was 447, our actual was 456, with a balance of 1 million, which is just below 0.50%. And then that's just a slight increase compared to the 2011, where our actual was 442. As I indicated earlier, that the overall was budget for the department, as well as with the underspending of 0.92%. In terms of looking at the trend of utilization of the facilities in terms of economy classification, our composition of employees has increased slightly from 2010-2011, from 326 million to 364. Our brutal savings have increased from 200 million to about 222,000 from the previous financial year. Payments for certain assets have decreased, and this mostly because you normally buy your assets during a specific period and you'll be buying them for every year. Our transfers of subsidiaries to our entities has decreased slightly from 438,000 in 2011 to 430,000 in the current or in the year under review. There was an increase in payment for capital assets or increase for financial assets, which is mostly debt written off and some of the losses, which has increased from 50 in the previous year, but I think we need to compare to the 2009-2010, which was 925. So over a 3 year period, it's actually a decrease. Interest on land on rent has increased from 1,102 to 26 million. As indicated earlier, that then lending is starting to understand by 1.5 million. It must be noted, all of our members, that the department has consistently been spending for the underspending has been below 3% in the last 3 years. So we are working very hard with the department to make sure that we are able to pay to spend all the amount of money to last year. Just to highlight again, for the year under review, the underspending was 0.19% in 2004 and 2005. If we analyze the major variances in the financial statement, you will see that there was an increase in basic salary of 14.56%, which mostly is a result of the salary increases that were effected in the year under review, as well as additional staff that in 2004. Periodic payments, there was a huge decrease there on the one-off payments that we normally use, and that has decreased by almost 80%. Another increase on our expenses is pension, which is related to your basic salary, and the salary increase, you expect the pension fund also to increase. And the department has had some cost containment measures to decrease our expenses. And as a result, you will see that under advertising, we have decreased the advertising expenses by 15.5%, and that is the result of some of the constant amendments that have been implemented. Our COVID education expenses have increased as the department grows, the internet, the data, all these expenses that we put together under communication that led to an increase in the education budget. Audit costs, honorable members, as you will be aware, the audit was extended during the financial year under review, and that has also resulted in an increase in audit costs, which has increased by almost 50%. Our operating leases have also increased by 28% as the department has moved to new offices, as well as the annual increase in the leases as expected. Our transaction in financial assets and liabilities, I've mentioned this one when I said in the previous year, in the previous slide, where there was an increase from 60 to 109,000. Another huge decrease in our expenses was under building and under construction. This one has decreased from 70,000 in the previous year to the 864,000 in the current year. And that has also led mostly by the reclassification and the re-entry in terms of accounting. Machinery and equipment, our machinery and equipment has increased as well as expected, as the number of staff increases and the department moves offices, you expect the machinery and equipment to also increase. Our software and other intangibles, which is mostly the software that we use for IT and related activities, that has also decreased, as we only normally need an initial investment into a project, and that's why 13,002 was created in increase. If we look at the analysis of balances in the financial statement, our cash and cash equivalent at year end has decreased. This would normally mean that it is at the year end with at least most of the funds that we had invested at the National Treasury. Our payments and advances, which is mostly SMT and so forth for employee traveling, this was an increase, but this is not really an issue that is worried of. It only depends on the trips and trips that were sent in the following year or in the following month. Our receivable honorable members have decreased from 20 million in 2011 to about 18 million. And this is because we effectively implemented revenue and receivable procedures, and that's what led to our saving and unqualified default. Under current liabilities, our goods are fast to be surrendered as indicated in the income statement. Our revenue that we need to surrender to Treasury is 9.5 million, and the voter funds to be surrendered are appropriated to us, which is an increase from the 2010-2011. Revenue to be surrendered, which we've already paid over to Treasury, was 3 million, which was a high decrease compared to the previous year, because the revenue and receivable were. We had to relook at them, and once the procedures were implemented, we were able now to pay over the money to the National Treasury. And the revenue that's recoverable, that is fundamentally needs to recover, that one has increased from 1.1 million in the 2010-2011 to 2 million in the 2011-12. But I'm confident that the members that the department procedures that have been implemented will make it. Which will allow us in this country to be able to recover the revenue. In terms of the transfer of subsidies to our related entities, public entities, we have made the following transfers. We transfer 164 million to the transfer of your time, and the purpose of the transfer was mainly because of the core findings, as well as to prevent the ingress of water into underground bodies. The other transfer that we made was to the Council of Mineral Technology Research, of which 159 million of it was for finding, and 18 million was for mine rehabilitation projects. To the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator, we transferred 39 million, which was for the co-finding in terms of the X.
The last transfer was to the Marine Health and Safety Council, of which we transferred 5 injured as part of our 4-5 injured. Honorable members, now I will be discussing the Auditor General's report. I think it is a pleasure to present to the committee this part of the presentation. For the first time in a couple of years, the department has obtained an unqualified report, and that's really because of the implementation of the recommendations made by the Auditor General, as well as putting in new processes and procedures to ensure that. The department is still committed, honorable members, to get to a new report. We understand that this is just the first step, the work is not done completely. It's our time to get to a good report, and we also view that we will be achieving this goal by the 2014 financial year. In terms of the issues raised by the Auditor General, there was an emphasis of matter on our audit report. This is largely due to the corresponding figures of the previous financial year, which was the 31st March 2011, which had to be restated. And the reason is that, honorable members, we had to go back as a department and do the recalculations and ensure that our methods that we use and our procedures are accurate. Our action plan, in order to ensure that this doesn't happen in future, we indicated that we will review, monitor, and enhance the newly implemented revenue system, and have indicated data we've implemented a revenue system for each, among other things, to be able to translate these threats and so forth on the that has been owed to the department. And the second part of our action plan is to ensure that there is a proper calculation of the environmental liability. And we have also engaged the Council of Justice for children. In terms of compliance with laws and regulations, the Auditor General has submitted that there were material changes to the financial statement, which was not in line with the TSMA requirement. And again, this is largely based on the issue that I talked about in the previous slides of revenue receivable as well as contingent liability. And our action plan is that we have manual and electronic system in place to ensure proper reconciliation. This is referring to the revenue system that we just implemented, as well as the manual reconciliation that we will do as management. The second issue that was raised by the Auditor General was money owing by the department that was not already paid within 30 days. Honorable members, this is an issue that we as a department take very seriously. We have implemented systems in place to ensure that we're able to pay our service providers within the 30-day period. And as of 30 September, we had paid all our suppliers within 90 days. And I think we're one of the best performing departments in this area. The other issue raised by the Auditor General was the revenue management in terms of the procedures and processes around that issue. And we had said that we will review, monitor, and enhance the newly implemented revenue system, making sure that it's operating effectively and as intended. Thank you.
I think
Honorable Chairperson, esteemed honorable members of National Council of Provinces, colleagues from the Department of Mineral Resources, and ladies and gentlemen who are also in this committee, it is indeed an honor and a privilege to present to you this morning. And before I present, let me also convey the apologies of my Deputy Director General, Mr. Mabuza, who's traveling with the minister abroad. He would have been here himself to present to you this program, which is Program 4. The presentation outline, ladies and gentlemen, is as follows. We'll present the successes of the program as a branch, the challenges that the program is facing, as well as the corrective measures that are being undertaken by the branch itself. The presentation is to be read in conjunction with this annual report here, and I presume you already have the PowerPoint slides in front of you. Just to refresh ourselves, esteemed members, the purpose of our program is to formulate mineral-related policies and promote the mining and minerals industry of South Africa, making it attractive to investors from ashore so that they can also boost the capacity of our country to grow sustainably in a way that will ensure a better life for all. The objective of the program is that through research, we should provide relevant information to enhance global competitiveness, review policies, and formulate legislation to achieve transformation and attract new investment into the South African minerals industry. The successes of the program of mineral policy and investment promotion are as follows. We have, over the financial period or the reporting period, engaged in consultations with the various communities on the MPRDA amendments. We have also been able also to progress successfully the processes which are to result in the enactment of this amendment bill of the MPRDA, as well as the Mine Health and Safety Act, to address some of the learnings and experiences and challenges that we have met previously and close some of those loops and gaps. We have also successfully concluded a study on the impact of policy on investment, and also, amongst other salient successes of the program, we have successfully seen through the adoption by Cabinet of the beneficiation strategy implementation plans on the iron and steel value chain, as well as energy commodities value chains. Those have already been developed and approved by Cabinet following the adoption of the beneficiation strategy of our minerals, which seeks to add value to our minerals and thereby retain some of the earnings and economic rents into our country. And also, we have been successful in implementing the economic partnerships and participation in the Kimberley Process Certification System, at which our principals and, as I've reported, the apologies as well, including the minister, have traveled overseas to prepare themselves to be the chairpersons of the Kimberley Process Certification System as of next year. We have also participated successfully in the Association of Diamond Producers of Africa. Our minister also had a successful and a fruitful visit to Ghana around mid-year this year. And successes are continuing as follows. We have also continued, as always, to publish our South African mining industry publication, which is called SAMI, which informs various stakeholders and interest parties in the work of the department as well as of our branch. We have also successfully implemented technical partnerships with our state-owned enterprises, amongst which is Council for Geoscience and MinTech, as well as collaborated very well with ESCOM on the study on coal reserves and so on and so forth. And then on the environmental side, we have also succeeded to develop a sustainable development strategy for mining and the document that is, and as well as a mine environmental management guidelines have also been successfully completed. In terms of challenges, we are competing in a very cutthroat environment where we are battling to retain and attract professionals to come and increase capacity within the department, given the resources that are available to the department and that can't compete with other competitors in the private sector or corporate sector, or even in terms of overseas recruitment agencies who recruit our skills from the mining and mineral sector. So this has been quite a challenge also for our own branch as well. And I would have observed also that our mine and health and safety had these challenges about this retention of the expertise of mining and minerals professionals. The other challenge is also to attract investment in the mining industry from offshore, because as you know, ladies and gentlemen, in South Africa, we have quite a challenge in terms of the ratio of savings vis-a-vis investment. So we rely heavily on the inflow of investment coming from offshore. But the challenge is that the sort of investment that come are short-term inflows that are not having a long-term perspective. What we would like to have investment that is going over a long haul to really focus on getting the returns in a long while after having established a sustainable productive capacity in the mining and mineral sector of our country. And also, as our DDG mineral regulation has mentioned, in terms of the gaps in legislation, hence the amendments of the MPRDA primarily, as well as mining health and safety, which also our Chief Inspector of Mines alluded to in his presentation. So our branch, the Program of Mineral Policy and Investment Production, is fast and furious in this area of facilitating and processing the amendments to the laws that regulate this industry. Then also we are at the point of finalizing the beneficiation implementation framework itself. As I said earlier on, the two value chains, as we are wont to refer to them, the one relating to iron and steel, as well as the one relating to energy minerals, those have already been approved by Cabinet. We are having about three that are outstanding. One would be relating to platinum group of metals, and the other one to jewelry value chain, and the other one to titanium, and those are the three that we're still trying to interact and consult with all affected stakeholders in the area. The other challenge that we have is the one you may have always picked up in the media, the challenge of rehabilitation of ownerless and derelict mines site. It has not been as fast as we would have loved it to be, but because also here we are challenged with the financial as well as the human resources to really get on a good momentum in this area. But over the past 2 years, the following sites have been rehabilitated: the Shelly mine in Kuruman in the Northern Cape, the Jebolo mine in Kuruman also in the Northern Cape, the Owendale mine area in Kuruman also in the Northern Cape, the Prisca old mill site, wall has been constructed in that area, and also the rehabilitation of the Prisca old mine itself has also been rehabilitated. And then I also know that just a few days ago we dispatched some of our officials in the department to go and tie the loose ends around the work which is happening in Yeningvlei in the Northern Cape. And there are also two sites in Kalinen in Gauteng that have also been rehabilitated. And then corrective measures, continuation here. Rehabilitation of derelict and ownerless mine sites. 12 sites will be completed this year following the proper alignment with the departmental strategic plan as with those of the state-owned enterprises that work closely with us, namely Council for Geoscience and MinTech. There are 6 projects in Limpopo that will be completed this year, and there's also 5 in the Northern Cape. There's also 1 in the Eastern Cape. And there's a program also of verification of derelict and ownerless mines is also in progress, because we are of the view, together with the National Treasury, that the current number, as we say, that is about 6,000 about ownerless and derelict mines, needs to be properly verified. It could have been perhaps just under 6,000 or more, if I can put that way, because this the tendency of also, not a tendency, but we need to correctly categorize what sizes are we talking here, or critical mass impacts we're talking when we talk the number of these ownerless and derelict mines. And also, as our colleagues from the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, we need to finalize the work around accurately calculating the contingent liability with respect to these ownerless and derelict mines. So work in that regard is still in progress, but we are at the point that we are almost done with the contingent liability calculation. In that, we engaged consultants to assist us here, together with Council for Geoscience and MinTech. Other corrective measures continuing has been to streamline the promotional activities in order to enhance efficacy of promotion, as well as to focus on proper alignment of branch programs to government programs and state-owned enterprises. Here we're looking particularly with respect to the National Development Plan, as well as the 12 outcomes of the government. And we are also working fast and furious around the outcome 4, which is responsible for job creation. The other area is that one of the beneficiation strategy implementation. Here we are working on a comprehensive plan for all the prioritized mineral commodities that need to have value addition into them, and thereby enhance, you know, the competitiveness of our South African mining and minerals industry. We also, as Ilya hinted, to address to the amendments of the Act the gaps in the regulatory and legislative environment. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for your ears and attention.
On the Done, you achieve your target, that's only 9 new assistant inspectors were trained. And see, this decision puts the department in a position where he can take preventative action rather than reactive action on mine. We don't want mine to go down when the problems have gone too far. We want these inspectors to say, that is going to go wrong, you better put your house in order. And so on. So we just have a lot of money and time to compromise and to then start a couple of days. And when you compare your tax of your fatalities, you know, the Eastern case is going to have one accident. And the tax is going to look good because you've gone up 100%. If we do not see how many employees, for instance, you have in each problem, then we cannot compare apples with apples. And I'm not saying this to you, Darcy, I'm asking for solutions in that slide. Because the slide looks very good at the moment, but if you have 80,000 line workers in the Northwest, and you have decreased it by 6%, then it can really look very good. And in the smaller provinces where there's less people involved in mining, then you could also see the whole picture in perspective. I'm not anxious to go to the so I haven't got time to listen to the assistant, but my colleague here said she will. This is one other question on program 4, on slide number 5, on the prayer on technical partnerships. With the various entities, and I would like to know if we could have copies of those partnerships, please. And the rest I will leave to my colleagues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think we been talking about this thing for some time. Said they complain. Environmental, they complain about the water sector. The Department of Complaints about this. So let's the issue of HDI being included in the system is about the medical they go to all the departments. They put the HDI for the assistance or in the document system or in the database. And they go and check them and say, now what HDI is there in the database. So we comply. But you know, that research has shown that they never have most of the education. The usual suspect that get the job, they continue to get the job. They only get the car. I don't know what the relationship, what the outcome of the department is, to be honest. But the one thing you go and go to do over time, and they want to check it. And I don't see the department taking the issue of living conditions in mind. And still, that is an issue. I think it should be one of the conditions. The conditions there is what the threat is. So, it seems to be one of the priorities, the issue of the. Thank you.
think we must be realistic. As we speak today, the hearing about Marikana is going on. Now, Marikana is a manifestation about what happened when transformation does not succeed. That is the end result of Marikana. That's my point. We must acknowledge that mining in South Africa in 18 years made a number of people very rich, but the majority of our people that still work on the mining go in every day, remain in part of the must survive daily on a very difficult circumstances. And that was just enough in a sense when we started this whole thing about transformation. Now transformation, I think we all agree on that, is necessary. The big issue is ours. Now certainly if we transform so much that one mining boss can buy a popular for 8 million men, then you start asking the question about how do you deal with this other way. Now I see in all probability this that mining boss might become a make it. But we must have those debates about how to innovate. And crucial to it is the cultural social investment. And the cultural social investment of mining has become, with due respect, nothing more than a media event. If you see how many media outlets could have big pages in the papers about what they do or what they perceive, then you must start asking the question about the cultural social. Now, Kuba had a wonderful scheme in our province. I was working with my better scheme, the same scheme for employees and so on. But that is just one element. There's another element, and that is in terms of how the living conditions of the miners in the province. On top of that, what do they put in their houses? And it was referred to in terms of how do they conduct their lifestyle. Once we start with the issues, then we will start addressing the real issue of our transformation. And transformation in the mining sector is absolutely essential. That how do you use the mineral wealth to close the gap between the regional positions and make sure that people are from the living or relatively rich. So Jeff and I remain skeptical about what we've achieved in Washington almost 20 years ago. Now I must say that in terms of the mineral policy and promotion, you know, there are certain issues that were raised there that if you looked at it, then the challenges they are facing of the reputation. Retention and attraction of professionals. I don't know if you see Chambers last night, they released the figures for the GDP growth in South Africa. It's less than 1.5%. It's not even taking into account the effect that Montana has on the economy. The reality
Trump.
There are a lot of people mining Kai Gai. It doesn't seem to be stuck in that area. But there's accusations that there's not a lot of regulation involved. Now, firstly, it's an issue about regulation, but secondly, there's an issue about value. Now, Kai Gai is one of those products that you can have a lot of value at. But at the moment, it seems they go out to bulk and the east or so on. There's no benefit to the community. The last issue then is, I see in the annual report they are page 160 and 159, there's quite a big amount of sand to public works and to the Department of Energy. I don't know what is, what's the reason for that. And lastly, what I picked up here in the annual report, the last issue says the audit committee has only got 3 members, and the 1 member of the audit committee only attended 400. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Most of the questions have been answered by my colleagues here, but I noticed that some members are still here who had asked some questions specifically to me that were perhaps skipped. The first question that was posed to us is what the extent to which geological mapping is happening in terms of pointing to where these minerals exist. Here, the progress, we will definitely supply you with a map because we work closely with the Council for Geoscience. But just an overview is that as the sector or the regulatory side of the mining and minerals industry, we are looking at mapping the country to a scale of 1:25,000. Currently, the country is mapped totally to around about 1:100,000. The tendency is to map around those areas where massive discoveries have been made. We tend to work closer there. Then you'd find that some maps are mapped to the point of 1:25,000. And where we are not sure, it's a bit extensive. The scale would be 1:200,000. But I think I will give you definite maps for that. I'll request my colleagues at the state-owned enterprises to help us in that regard. They have the data with them. That is the question relating to geological mapping, how far we are, and that would be the extent. And then on the copies of technical and the TIPNA partnerships with the various entities that we're having with CGS, MINTEC, as well as ESCOM, they also will provide the contracts that we have signed together with them that govern those technical partnerships with them. For example, MINTEC is actually doing part of, is almost like our implementing agent in terms of rehabilitation work together with the Council for Geoscience. And then we are working together with the ESCOM on the area of the calculation of the coal reserves around the country and the what is called the coal roadmap. And then most of the questions around the living conditions, my colleagues has answered them extensively, and I don't want to add anything there in that regard. And then also on nationalization, my colleague has also answered there. And most of the other questions, as the members who asked them and have already left, would be sort of the questions that would be answered well above my pay level, which is at the principal's level. So I think it's best for me to leave them there, lest I misrepresent my department by sharing my own personal views with unwittingly. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for having me here, and to the colleagues. I will stop here unless there's a question that I may have missed that was directed at mineral policy and promotion. I don't mind to revert back to, though I think Mr. Rapela answered most of the questions. I couldn't get quite clear the question which was coming from Member of Parliament Abrams around rehabilitation. My ears were hard of hearing a bit there. So, but I trust Mr. Ragimanes, Mr. Rapela has answered it eloquently. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, I just wanted to speak to the issue raised by Honorable Sinclair on the governance structure think it was more for noting though the issue about the audit committee. Just wanted to assure him that with our audit committee, we try by all means to not just have them for the sake of compliance, but for them to add value. And in terms of our membership, we are in compliance with the requirements of the PFMA. I think over and above that, with regard to the one member who attended four meetings, our membership, our membership consists of individual members that are independent of the department. There's nobody that belongs to the department, which we find that it works better for us as a department. But as a result of that, that comes with its own challenge in that these people work elsewhere. And as a result, you'll find that there are times when you've set up a meeting, which they have known, but somehow they do have work engagements that they can't get out of, or they confirm a meeting, but somewhere just before the meeting, there's an emergency that happens. That is a normal thing. But otherwise, we will always strive towards making sure that all of them attend the meetings. Thanks, Chair.